We started yesterday the sugya of shemen here on Daf Mem Amid Beis, and I realize now, which I didn't know yesterday, that this sugya, the story of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdime with Rebbe, which we'll go over very, very concisely, is relevant to a whole nother dimension of Hilchas Shabbos. And that's klisheni with regard to water, with regard to mayim. And we'll see if there's an equation between shemen and mayim. That's what we want to see. So again, just to review, you're on Daf Mem Amid Beis, and where the wide lines begin, we're going to begin about line 4. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak tells us the following story. There was a case in which he went into a Beis HaMerchatz with Rebbe, and he wanted to heat up a jug of oil, and he put it into an ambati, into a hot pool of water. But before he could do so, Rebbe stopped him and said, "No, take water out of the ambati into a klisheni, vitol b'klisheni." And the Gemara derives three conclusions from this story of Rebbe with Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdime. The first derivation is that there is bishul in shemen. As we said yesterday, shemen doesn't really change its structure, and we would have thought that there's no bishul in shemen. Number two, he's telling you that you're allowed to put it in a, despite the fact that it's subject to bishul, you're allowed to place it into a kli sheni, which means that klisheni eino bevashel. The third nafkamina is hefshero zeu bishulo, which we discussed yesterday at great length. But today we want to focus on this halach of klisheni eino bevashel. And here are the questions that we want to address. Is it really true that klisheni eino bevashel? After all, we had a sugya back on Daf Lamed Ches called Kaliyah Bishul, and there we establish that klisheni is mevashel. That doesn't mean it contradicts our sugya here on Daf Mem, because here we're talking about shemen. It's very possible that shemen doesn't fit into the category of Kaliyah Bishul. We discussed this at great length yesterday. The fact that Hefshero Zo Bishulo would seem to indicate that it's Kaliyah Bishul. But the second question, and this is the question I really want to emphasize today, is it really true that klisheni eino mevashel? Is that a universal halacha? Does it apply in Kol HaTorah Kula? Is it a Shabbos halacha? How does it apply, for example, to liquids, to water? If you heat up water in a klisheni, what's the deal? This might be relevant to making tea on Shabbos. So I'm very excited about Simon Mem Hei, which I photocopied for you, in this Sefer Hari Kedem, because he starts with a Rambam, and I'll read to you the Rambam. You can see it inside here on the bottom of your first page. And this is the Rambam in Perkhov Beis Halacha Hei, which I have in front of me. And the Rambam writes, Ambati Shal Merchatz. Now, the assumption here is that this Ambati Shal Merchatz is very hot. That's why people take a hot bath in this merchatz. He malea mayim chamim. The Rambam says that the case, the scenario is that it's full of hot water. And the Rambam says, ein nosnin la mayim tzonin. And you're not allowed to place cold water into this hot bath. Sharei mechamim amharbe, because it will heat up the water. Now again, the big question here is, how do we define Ambati Shel Merchatz? Is it a Kli Rishon? Is it a Kli Sheni? Ostensibly, if there's no hot, you know, there's no fire underneath the Ambati, then its status would be that of a Kli Sheni. Now, we said the exception to the rule was Kami Tveri, if you recall, where there's a constant...
Why is it a Kli Sheni? I thought in the Merchatzot there was some type of arrangement to have fire underneath the places people bathed in.
Right. But this is the Ambati Shel Merchatz. This is not the Beis HaMerchatz itself. And I'll read to you the Lecha Mishnah. The Lecha Mishnah says that Ambati Ze Klisheni Hu. Those are the words of the Magid Mishnah. So I'm going to defer to the Magid Mishnah right now. Now we'll see, maybe there are other interpretations of the Rambam, but the Magid Mishnah says that this Ambati is a Kli Sheni, and he says not only that, Kein Pirshuha Haga'onim. Okay, this is based on a sugya later on that we'll get to on Daf Mem Beis, and that sugya prohibits putting the Mayim Tzonanim into the Mayim Chamin, and the Gaonim interprets that's in, even in a Kli Sheni. Vatam, and now the Magid Mishnah has to address, well, how could it be that there's Bishul in a Kli Sheni? Our Gemara establishes here on Daf Mem that Kli Sheni ain't a Mavashel. That was one of the derivations that we derived from Rebbe. By the way, in the same Rambam, he writes, not only are you enjoined from putting Mayim Tzonanim into this hot bath, but Chen Lo Yiten L'Socha Pach Shel Shemen. And this is our Gemara of Pach Shel Shemen, the story of Rabbi Yitzchak and Rebbe. And the Rambam adds, Mipnei Shehu Kim Mevashlo. It sounds like the Rambam is saying that there is Bishul in a Kli Sheni with regard to Shemen. Our Gemara said, Tolba Kli Sheni, there is no Bishul in a Kli Sheni. So all this has to be understood. In any event, let me read to you the Magid Mishnah. And he writes, V'atam she'osu losei tzonei l'tochamin shebo. Why is it that you're not allowed to put cold water into this hot water, hot bath, even though it's a cliche he's just established? They shamayim shebo omdim l'rechitza. He uses this water in the pool, in the bath, for rechitza, for bathing. The adam mechamim harbe, and they're very, very hot. V'zeu shekosav Rabbeinu, that's why the Ram used the language Ambati shel merchatz v'chein ikar. So the bottom line is that according to the Magid Mishnah in the Rambam, if you have very hot water in a Kli Sheni, you're not allowed to put cold water into that hot water. And the impression you get is that we're dealing with Bishul Mamish. You know, we're not talking about some sort of Derabbanon or Gzeiro or Chashash, but real Bishul. In fact, the Rambam in the very next Halacha speaks about Bishul Doraisa in a case of a Kli Rishon, and here in the case of Halacha Hey, of Kli Sheni, Mistoma, he's talking about the same thing. Meaning, the Rambam combines two Halachas together, one next to the other. First Halacha Hey, then it's Halacha Vav. You know, during our Shiurim, we haven't gotten really much of a chance, an opportunity to learn Rambam. We've been jumping from the Gemara and the Rishonim all the way to the Shulchan Aruch. But you know, there is a major stop, a station in the middle, and that's the Rambam. So I apologize for that. But here's a case where if you read the Rambam carefully, you're going to see that the Rambam is of the opinion that cold water into hot water is a problem of Bishul Doraisa. So I'm going to put the Rambam now with the Magid Mishnah on the side for a minute. And what I'm going to do here in Simon Mem Hei is I'm not going to necessarily read every word inside. I underline certain parts. I'm going to highlight certain parts and explain them. But if you take a look on the left column towards the bottom, he says on the fourth line, Yesh Lo'ayim B'divrei HaMagid Mishnah, he says, I don't get it. Kaimalon Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel. So who cares? The Magid Mishnah says that this Ambati is very, very hot. But in the same breath, the Magid Mishnah says that this Ambati is a Kli Sheni. And we have a rule that Kli Sheni ain't a Mevashel. And lest you argue that this Rambam is addressing an Issa D'Rabbanon, how are you going to read Halacha Vav? Because in Halacha Vav, the Rambam says that you're not allowed to put sonein, cold water, into a Kli Rishon. Here you want to turn to Kuf Lamed Daled. And the Rambam says, Mipnei Shehu Mechamim Harbe. Now, if we're talking about a Kli Rishon, then for sure, if you pour cold water into a Kli Rishon, it's going to heat it up, and he violates an Isur Torah. So you might underline on the third line here, Isur Torah. So we're dealing with a violation of a Doraisa, cold water into hot water, if the hot water is hot enough. And here, the Ambati, according to the Magid Mishnah, is on the one hand a Kli Sheni, but on the other hand, when the Rambam writes Mechamim Harbe, it means that it's very, very hot. It's very, very hot. So what's the deal with very hot water in a Kli Shemesh? Is it called a Mavashal or is it not a Mavashal? That's the question. You and I would have said Kli Sheni ain't a Mavashal, period. And that's what the Gemara establishes in our sugya in the story of Rebbe with regard to Shemen. Why not apply that rule even to the case of cold water that you pour into very, very hot water? And you, if you want a copy for your own, I have it there on the back. You could have it because you may want to underline certain parts.
Your intention would have to be to heat this cold water up. What about if you wanted to cool the hot water down? Like you put an ice cube in a cliche.
So now you're getting into issues, David, of what's called a Dovash Eidah Miskavin. You know, what happens if I do a malacha and I don't do it but kavana? And then we get into issues called psikresha, if I know it's going to happen, and so forth and so on. But I thought you could ask a slightly different question. What happens if his intention was just to warm up the cold water and then immediately take it out? Do you remember the case of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi with the oil? There, he didn't want to heat it up until it got very, very hot. And in fact, the Gemara calls it Efshero Zeu Bishulo. So what would be in the case of cold water if I just want to warm up cold water by placing it into hot water? Let's say it's in a jug or...
Put the baby bottle of formula into the...
Exactly. Thing. Beautiful. There would be a classical case of taking something cold and you want to warm it up. For example, I don't know, again, everybody has to know what his mitzvah is, but in our mitzvah, back where I come from, we had mother's milk that was frozen in a bottle. So that if she couldn't be around or whatever, we would take the mother's milk rather than use what is it called? Similac formula, right? So what happens if I want to take this ice cold mother's milk and I want to warm it up? So I put it into boiling hot water. Am I allowed to do so? It's in a klisheni. I would have said klisheni in a mavashal again. We have no problem here. But now I'm beginning to think that maybe it really is a problem, because the Rambam is talking about an iser d'oraisa bishul by putting cold water into some hot water that's very, very hot, and it's in a klisheni. Would the rabbi make an exception to the rule if I only put it in for a short period of time and then I remove it out? I don't know. We have to think about it. But it seems that the Rambam is talking about an Issa d'oraisa, and not only that, he points out here that even if you'll be skeptical and you want to debate and argue with me and say, no, the Rambam is talking about an Issa d'rabbanan, nevertheless, the tour in Shulchan Aruch talks about an Issa d'oraisa, because the Magen Avraham interprets that tour as a violation of an Issa d'oraisa. So that even if, and that's in Siman Shin Yud Ches, remember Shin Yud Ches is the famous Siman that's dedicated to Meleches Bishul, and there the Magen Avraham says, based on the tour, that putting cold water into hot water and heating up the cold water in a hot water in a klisheni is Bishul. Is tikshe. Now we have a problem. What do I care if the water is very hot? We have a principle that klisheni ain't a mavasha. Now at this point, he goes off a little bit onto what we call isa veheta. Isa veheta means that part of Shulchan Aruch which is yoredeya. And the question is, let's say for example, you pour milk into hot meat, and that's a violation of Bishul Basa B'Cholav. The only problem is that the hot meat is in a Kli Sheni. So you have Fleishiger stuff cooking in a pot, but it's now in a Kli Sheni, meaning I took it out of the original Kli, poured it into another Kli, and now he pours milk into it, cold milk. And the answer is that that's called Kli Sheni, Eino Mevashel. And the Halacha doesn't differentiate what is the temperature level, the heat level of the Kli Sheni. The rule is Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel.
I thought it was a gush or something. The fact that the meat is soft.
Well, that's something different. That's why I mentioned he's cooking meat in a pot. Now, if it's, you know, Joel's pointing out that if it's just simply a piece of hot sizzling meat, that might be different. That's what he called tzli. And maybe it's mavashal because they clean. I don't know. You have to know about that. But we're talking about cooking. So we're cooking meat in a pot, and now we're pouring milk into the pot, and it's a kli sheni. You know, normally if we talk about a kli rishon, that's called a bishul d'oraisa of basa b'cholav. If the water is hot enough, you know, the meat is hot enough. So he says that the prima gadim later on in our perik in perik kira is going to ask this question. The Ramban Yoredeya says that klisheni ain't a mevashel. without qualifying, implying that even if the water in the klisheni is boiling hot, it doesn't have the capacity for bishul. And yet, here in this sugya, we're learning that when you pour hot, cold water into hot water in a klisheni on Shabbos, that's the way the Rambam has it, that's the way the Magen Avraham understood in the Torah, you are in violation of Meleches Bishul. Why not apply the principle of klisheni Eino Mevashel? And the Prima Gadim, at the end of his presentation, writes, Umikomakom Hamore. Hamore means if somebody asks you a question, a Shaila, and you're a Rav, and you have to be Mora Hora, you have to give a verdict and tell them what Talach is, Tzarech Li Zareh Bazeh, he better be very careful before he simply allows him to do Bishul in a Klisheni. Kifia Nira Ein Lahakil B'Klisheni Shiroseach Harbe. That we should not be lenient in the case of a Klisheni that's very, very hot. And Rabosai, keep in mind, we're not talking about Kaliyah Bishul here. We're talking about cold water into hot water. No one's mentioning Dagas Ispanin and all those kinds of herrings and fishes. He has another question. Because the Rambam continues in the same Rambam, he says, V'chein lo yitein l'socha pach shemen, he shouldn't put a jug of oil into a klisheni. Again, I'm interpreting the way the Magid Mishnah interprets it, because it's mavashel. It would seem that we're talking about an Issa Durabonon in this case. Now, how does Rav Soloveitchik know that we're talking about an Issa Durabonon? And the answer is because the Rambam added one letter, the letter Chaf. And he doesn't say Mevashlo, but Kimavashlo. It's as if he was Mevashlit. Whenever you see that Chaf, which we call a Chaf HaDimyon, then you always drop from a Doraisa to a Drabona. It means it's like or it looks like Bishul. But it's not really Bishul. Now wait a second, you just finished telling me that if it's hot water, really boiling hot water in the klisheni, then it's capable of Bishul Doraisa, and if you pour cold water into the hot water, you violate Bishul. But now when you get to the case of Shemen, all of a sudden it drops down to an Issa Derabanan. In the same exact scenario, the same klisheni, the same Abati Shel Merchatz, which is Roseach Harvei, nevertheless it's only an Issa Derabanan. So we come to the conclusion that Shemen and Mayim have two different, what's the plural of status? Status I?
We didn't say dinim?
Two different dinim. Okay? Vanira Bazeh. Okay, now this is fascinating. As I told you before, we're guilty of not learning enough Rambam Hilchos Shabbos. Okay? Here's another example of really learning meticulously, reading the beautiful language of the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. We're going to go back to the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. He says it's in Perek Tes Halacha. This is the Perek that's dedicated to Meleches Hafiyah. And the Rambam says the following. The Rambam says, now, as you know, Hafiyah and Bishul are two sides of the same coin. Hafiyah, the Rambam says, is chayav echad ha'ofer es ha'pas. So far, so good. He baked a piece of bread. O ha'mavashel es ha'machol o es ha'samim bonim. Okay, now the Rambam moves from Hafiyah to Bishul. And he gives two examples of Bishul. One is food, and one is samamonu. Right, the samamonu was not edible. That was used to extract what? A dye, D-Y-E. Because those dyes were used to color the rios, the curtains in the Mishkan. And then, after talking about Afia and Bishul, the Rambam says, O hamechamem es hamayim. Which word would you have anticipated that the Rambam would have said if you want to substitute for the word hamachamim es hamayim? Hamavashel et hamayim, he should have said, right? There's no afiyah in mayim, that's clear, but there's bishul in mayim. And here the Rambam says that if you're machame mayim, hakol inyan echad, meaning you're chayiv for this malach. So what does the Rebbe want to be medayik from this Rambam? He says, Mevur b'loshen Rambam, the Bishul, when does he use the word Bishul? That's with regard to Machol o Samemonim. Why? Because Bishul means to take food and to be metaking the food. We've spoken a million and one times about the fact that Meleches Shabbos is identical with Tikkun. Correct? Tikkun, meaning you improve something. And when you take raw food, which is not edible, and you cook it, that improvement is called tikkun hachila. Or, for example, samimonim. By cooking the samimonim, you extract the dye, and that's your tikkun. But the Rama, when he gets to mayim, he doesn't say mevashel asamayim, but rather hamalachi chimum hamayim. The Rama goes out of his way to change the language, and he shifts over to chimum hamayim. Velo bishel. And Rav Soloveitchik says the reason why the Rambam had to do that, and now on the top left column on page Kuf Lamed Daled, is because heating up water is not the same as bishul. Basically, in other foodstuffs, you change something from a state of non-edible to a state of edible, whether it's kemacha medrosai and so forth and so on. But in the case of mayim, you know, you can drink cold water, you can drink hot water. Obviously, he wants hot water, so he's heating up the water. But nothing really changes in the H2O. It's pretty much the same. And the Rambam says, once again, in the case of Mevashel al Ha'or, Dovashayu Mevushel called Tsarko, O Dovashayeno Tsarech Bishel Klal Potter. The Rambam says, let's say you take fruit which is edible raw, and you cook fruit. So the Rambam says you're potter from that. Why, Rabosai?
Because you can eat it raw.
And therefore, what's lacking here? Again, no, I need that language. Tikkun, everyone, tikkun. That's for the choir for today's tikkun. There's no tikkun if you cook something that you could eat it raw. He wants to eat it cooked. But the Rambam says that since objectively it's edible raw, the amount, the profound nature of the tikkun is so limited that therefore you're not chayev. And the Magid Mishnah says that this is based on our Gemara in Kira that we're learning, our Sugya. And the Gemara goes back and forth as to whether Shemen, Yeshbo Mishum Bishul Olo. Right now we've studied Remi, that Remi says that there is Bishul in Shemen, and therefore he says Tolba Klisheni. Later on we're going to see another Mandi Omer that disagrees with Remi and holds there is no Bishul in Shemen. But in any event, what's the Sugya dealing with? Why is the Gemara, you know, vacillating back and forth until Rebbe establishes, according to his opinion, a radical revolution that Shemen Yeshbo Mishum Bishul. What was the Havamina that there is no Bishul by Shemen? And the answer is because Shemen can be used without cooking it. You don't have to cook the oil. The oil can be, you know, it can be used in a salad or whatever have you. Ubikan, so what do we see? That something that doesn't need bishul, the bishul itself is so insignificant, it's not a malacha chashuva, it's not tikkun, and therefore you're not chayav for such a bishul. And therefore, Rabbi Kivager derives from this Rambam the conclusion that any fruits that can be eaten raw, there's no bishul according to the Rambam. If that be the case, why are you chayav for heating up water? After all, mayim should be a classical case of a davar shenechal chay v'eino tzarech bishul. It doesn't have to be cooked. You can drink away, you know, and the doctors will tell you how many cups of water you should drink a day, and then it doesn't have to be hot water. You know, some people find hot water fits, you know, maybe it's psychological, I don't know, but it calms down the belly, I don't know, the intestines. But there's no need to heat up water. Oh, so the answer is, the Rambam is saying, yeah, something that could be eaten raw without bishul is you're not chayav for bishul, that's not a tikkun. But that's only in Hilchas Bishul. When we get to Mayim, we're talking about a whole new ballgame. We're no longer talking about bishul, but the machayev of mayim is not bishul, but rather what? Chimum. That's the key word. Okay, chimum. So we have three key words for our lexicon today. You know, if Don was here, I would write on the blackboard, but he's not here today. So Don, I hope you won't mind, and I'm not going to write it on the board. So the first word is tikkun, and the second word is bishul, and the third word is chimum. Right, because in the case of food, we need bishul, and if we don't need bishul, we're not chayav for bishul. It's nechal chay. In the case of mayim, we're talking about chimum. Vizui derech meleches bishul. In other words, this overall umbrella organization, which is called meleches bishul, includes in the case of mayim chimum mayim. Chimum mayim is the way that you cook water. That's the boiling point. That's cooking water. And therefore he says that even though water doesn't need bishul, and therefore you would say that, well, if you don't need bishul, you're not chayav for bishul. That's only in terms of hilchas bishul. But when we get to hilchas chivum, which is the case of mayim, then we say that heating up water is considered a great tikkun, and the Rambam establishes that machamim is hamayim yochayav. Masha'en came by Oakland, but in contrast to all other foodstuffs, where the chiyuv is for bishul, not for chimum, therefore the tikkun is only if it needs bishul, and you achieve bishul. So I'm also saying, let's say I have a cooked schnitzel, right? That's David's always case. You're taking a schnitzel out of the refrigerator, and I want to warm it up. Would there be a problem with bishul in that case? It's already cooked. So what are you doing? You're heating it up. Of course, you and I want to eat hot schnitzel. Who wants to eat cold schnitzel, right? But it doesn't matter. In the case of a foodstuff, you're not chayef for chimum, you're chayef for what?
Bishul.
Masha'enken, in the case of mayim is different. Mayim, you don't talk about mavushal called sarko, you don't talk about it, so it's nechal chai, it could be drinking, you can drink it cold, hutsonein. No. We're going to say that mayim has a new category to it. We call it a subcategory of meleches bishul, an offshoot of meleches bishul, and that's called chimum. And the tikkun of mayim, in terms of meleches bishul, is chimum. In ochlin, you're not chai for chimum. But in mayim, you're chai for chimum. Ah, now we can get back to our question. Wait a minute. Let's get to the punchline and then you can ask your questions. The punchline is here at the beginning of the next paragraph, Me'ata. What about Kli Sheni? And we asked ourselves the question. We have a principle in Yoredeya, we have a principle in Shabbos, that Kli Sheni ain't a Mevashel. Why then does the Rambam say in Perikov Beis, Me'ilcha Shabbos, Halacha, hey, that you're not allowed to put cold water into hot water in a kli sheni? That's how the Magen Mishnah interprets on Bati Shel Merchatz. Let's not lose, you know, sight of the forest of the trees that we started with, right? The Magen Mishnah says that you violate an Iser Bishul by pouring cold water into hot water in a kli sheni. How could that be? We have a principle called kli sheni eino mevashel. The answer is that kli sheni eino mevashel is halach in hilchas bishul. When we're talking about bishul, that means we're talking about ochlin. Then there's no such thing. The Torah, the halacha, doesn't recognize or validate bishul in a kli sheni, because a kli sheni is mufka mi bishul. But when it comes to chimum, that's already a different story, because chimum is a brand new, it's a new branch, it's a new category within the matrix of bishul. And therefore, if this ambati of mayim, even if it's a klisheni, is chimum or harbe, it's very hot, such that now, when you put the cold water into the hot water, this ambati, it will heat up the water, that's called machane mayim, he's chayev achatos. Wow, he violates an Iser Meleches Bishul Doraisa, but we're going to call it by a different name. Instead of calling it Meleches Bishul, we don't want to confuse ourselves, we're going to call it Meleches Chimum. Tibemayim, when it comes to Mayim Yechayim for Chimum, and Rav Soloveitchik coins a brand new phrase here, Chimumam Harehu Kibishulam. You won't find that anywhere, only here in this Sefer. That Chimum in Mayim is equal to Bishul in Ochlin. And therefore, when it comes to Chimum of Mayim, now we have a whole new set of rules. The halacha of Kli Sheni and Mevashel is halacha in Bishul. But in Chimum, with regard to Mayim, there is no halacha of Kli Sheni and Mevashel, and all we need is Chimum. And even if the boiling hot water is in a Kli Sheni, it's still capable of Chimum on Mayim. And therefore, from the perspective of heating up Mayim, there's absolutely no difference between a Kli Sheni, a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni. Everything depends upon the degree of heat of the water, the hot water that's going to heat up the cold water. If it's hot enough, then it'll be Mevashel or Kli Sheni, but that's called Chimum. Let's not call it Mevashel. And if it's not hot enough, then there's no Chimum, even a Kli Rishon. The distinction between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni doesn't apply to Mechamim. And now we're going on to page Kuf Lamed Hey. The Rambam in Halacha Hey, with regard to Abati B'Kli Sheni, the way the Magid Mishnah, and also in Halacha Vav, where there's Mayim in a Kli Rishon, and he pours cold water in it, or he has a sephel of cold water, and he puts it into a Kli Rishon, the Rambam says the reason why he's Chayim is because Mechamim on Harbe. The Rambam uses the same logic in both Halacha Hey with regard to Kli Sheni, and Halacha Vav with regard to Kli Rishon, and that is Mipnei Shemechamim on Harbe. excuse me, Bechara L'Harbe. And the only difference between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni is that in the case of a Kli Sheni, you know, you're going to have to guarantee that you didn't give a chance, you didn't wait a long time for the Kli Sheni to cool off the Mayim, and the Mayim now in the Kli Sheni is still Chamamam Harbe. It's got a Harbe Chom, it's got a high degree of heat. Let's say it's Yad Sol Lenispo. That's the sugya that we have to learn about Yad Sol Lenispo. And in the case of Halacha Vav, which is a Kli Rishon, Mistama means we can assume until we know otherwise that a Kli Rishon is going to be hot enough for Bish. With regard to Shemen, he says, there the Gemara vacillates, and there are two opinions, one of which we've already learned, and that's the opinion of Rebbe, that Yeshbo Mishum Bishol. Says Rav Soloveitchik, you know what? If Yeshbo Mishum Bishol, then really what does Rebbe mean, Yeshlo Mishum Bishol? Does he mean Bishol Mamish, or does he mean Chimum? And what's going to be the answer of Osai? No. Oh. Bishul. Because if he means chimum, then how could he say tol b'klisheni? You weren't here, Yehudi, yesterday. So I'm not faulting you for this. But yesterday we learned that Rebbe said, instructed Rebbe Yitzchak Aradime, tol b'klisheni. Tol b'klisheni, meaning that there is no bishul b'klisheni. And he's talking about Shemen, if I would assume and define Shemen as Mayim, and I'd be chayv not for Bishul but for Chimum, then he should be chayv even in a Kli Sheni. Again, he's got this hot bath, and he pours the water into a receptacle, which is a Kli Sheni. And right now the water is boiling hot. Rebbe doesn't mind that. I have no objection, says Rebbe, take the Shemen and submerge it into this Kli Sheni. There's no Bishul Kli Sheni Bashem. So it must be that the issue of is there Bishul in Shemen or is there not Bishul in Shemen is in Hilchas Bishul. And now we get back to the Rambam in Perkhov Beis, Halacha Dalit. And there the Rambam addresses the case of Shemen. And the Rambam says that may niach pach shel shemen keneged abedora kedei sheyafshir velo sheyicham. Okay, so I'm sure it's not called bishul. And the Rambam says the hushlo yachmu amayim al yidei zeh. Fine. So what do we derive from halacha dalid? That's what he says over here. Hainu, when the Rambam says that you can be chayef for shemen, the Rambam is talking about bishul. And that's the Chiddush of Rebbe. You and I would have said that Shemen doesn't lend itself to Bishul. It's not really a profound structural change in the Shemen. But in the case of Rebbe, in Rebbe's frame of reference, the Chiddush is that Shemen has Bishul. Again, we have to analyze why Rebbe Becholzo Tafal Piche, and he says that Shemen should be subsumed under all foodstuffs, and it's lend itself to the same rules and regulations of Bishul, and therefore Rebbe says tol b'klisheni, because since we're dealing with Bishul and not with Chimum, then it should be okay. However, the Rambam adds a derabbanan here. Do you remember that? Let's go back to the Rambam again. Halacha hey, the Rambam says lo yitein letocha, when he has this klisheni called an ambati shel merchatz, he should not place into it a pach shel shemen mivnei shehu Kimavashlo. And Rav Soloveitchik is medayik from the Kimavashlo that here the Rambam is instituting a gzeirah drabbanon of Kimavashlo. And again, we're going to have to see why. Again, Rebbe seems to assume that there is no gzeirah and tol b'klisheni. We're going to have to see the sources of the Rambam, but that's not for us now. The point we want to make is that although Shemen in a klisheni is not Bishul Doraisa, but nevertheless there are bonanasana because it's like Bishul. And Rav Olsai, why would you say it's like Bishul? After all, there is no Bishul in a klisheni in Ochlin. But it looks like what? It looks like mine. And on a Drabbanan level, they considered Shemen to be like mine. If this be the case, Rabosai, then perhaps we can understand Yoredea. Remember, we spoke about Yoredea, and we saw that in Yoredea, with regard to Bishul Basa B'cholov, or any sort of B'lias Isur, the rule of thumb was that there is no Bishul in a cliché. Now, I'm just going back to see if we quoted actually where it... I just want to see if it's the same Simon. He didn't tell us where it is. So now we get to see where it is. It's in Yerodeh Siman Kuf He. And there it says that Klisheni Eino Mavasha. Okay, so Klisheni Eino Mavasha Le Klisheni. He says Lo Ashkechan Chiluk Klal Ben Klisheni Shu Cham Harbe O Ma'at O Hasam Legabe Blia Bisurim Kivlu Chazal Du Toli Bekoch Abishul The Lo Bekoch Achimum. So in this paragraph, Rav Soloveitchik sort of wedges, or he squeezes in, so to speak, almost under the radar screen. He pushes in a chiddush here, which has to be analyzed in Yerodeah, and that is that when you talk about blia means you cooked non-kosher food in a pot, and now we assume that the walls of the pot are bolea, they absorb the tam, such that if you cook again in the pot, is kibola kapolto, it'll come out, and it'll aser up the heta that you cook in the second cooking. And he says that whole halach applies only to bishul. In other words, what power would generate this blia? It's got to be bishul and not chimum. Chimum would not be sufficient. You know, you might ask, well, if I have a klisheni, maybe the water in the klisheni should be enough to create a blia, so that now if I put non-kosher meat into a klisheni, that kli would now aser, it would prohibit me if I cooked something else that's heter in that kli subsequently. No. Klisheni and Mavashal means that Bliya depends upon Bishal. That has to be studied very carefully. It's not for us now. When we learn Yerodeah Mitzvah Shem, when we get to that, we'll have to figure out why is it that with regard to Bliya, we don't apply this principle of Chimum. That maybe Bliya could be generated by Chimum in the case of Mayim? No. So let's say, for example, you had water that was saturated with chalev, let's say liquid chalev, which is nisakares, and you cooked that water, or shall I say better, you heated that water in a klisheni, you would still not have a blia from the chalev into the walls of the klisheni, because blia depends upon what? Bishul, and not on chimum. So that's on the side. You know, you want to keep that in a footnote on the bottom of your page, but we don't know why chimum would not apply to blia. You can't generate an iser blia through chimum. You need bishul mamish to generate an iser blia. That's a separate topic. I wouldn't get into it now. But what I would like to know is, we said according to the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Gimel that if you cook fruits that are eaten raw, then you're not chayav for bishul. Right, because it's mufka from meleches bishul, and Rabbi Kivega says you can take, according to the Rambam, on a deraisa level, at least you can take fruits which can be eaten raw, and you could cook them on a deraisa level. But the Rambam seems to assume that gam davar she'ein tzarich bishul af she'ein bo mishum bishul min haTorah yesh bo iser bishul derabbanan. Rabbi Kivega is not coming to the radical conclusion that you're allowed to take fruits and cook them on Shabbos. That's for sure prohibited, but it's only derabbanan. Because even though on a deraisa level it's a darash ein tzarich bishul, and therefore that bishul is not a tikkun, but nevertheless you would be violating a bishul derabbanan. And how do we see this in the Rambam? Because the Rambam says that if he cooks something that is ein tzarich bishul, he's potter. Whenever the Rambam used the word potter, that's what the Rambam establishes in Perek Aleph. Mil for Shabbos, he means potter. Avol asa, correct. Okay. So that's what we have over here. Now, if you can fast forward to a paragraph that says V'yesh lahosif. Okay then? So I'm going to make myself a note that for the time being we're skipping the paragraph Achem, and hopefully we'll come back to it. So don't lose this little pamphlet that I gave you, because I put some effort into photocopying it. We don't have to lose everything that we've given, right? There's no mitzvah to, okay. Sometimes I think it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to lose the pages that Rabbi Berzon gives out. I don't know. Okay. Tzvi used to take care of my files for me, you know, the archives. But I don't know. Now he's he must be making millions, I guess. So what? All right. Yesh lahosif. The poshet the chol din zehu rak b'shabbos. Avol the basa b'chol of yesh isu deloshav tevashel gediba chalev imo. And he says the following, that with regard to basa b'cholav, what we need is bishul. And that's what the Torah prohibits. It prohibits bishul. And in the case of Shabbos, you might have a possibility of bishul achar bishul. Let's think of the possibility of bishul achar bishul when there is a tikkun. What I mean is the following. Two scenarios, if you can write this down. Also. Scenario number one, where the second bishul is effective and generates a tikkun, would be where the first bishul only reached the level of kemaychol ben josoi. So that's considered a ma'aseh bishul, and yechai for that bishul comes along the same person or somebody else and cooks it from kemaychol ben josoi to
called
sorko. Is yechai mishum bishul? We have a principle ein bishul acha bishul. So in Shabbos, where we say that the definition of Malachas Bishul's tikkun, he did a great tikkun, a great accomplishment by taking it from Kemaychol Ben Josoi and bringing it to the state of what? Of Kol Tzarko. That's scenario number one. Now I have scenario number two. What happens if I take water and I heat it up and it's boiling hot, but now I let it cool off and I reheat it a second time? According to Rav Soloveitchik, that the Malach is what? Not Bishul, but Chimum. So now you have water that's cooled off. And what difference does it make if in ancient history this water was once boiled in the past, but now it's completely cold or lukewarm, and now he heats it up. So he's being what? He's being mechayev es hamayim. We said that in the case of mayim, you're chayev even in a klisheni. How can you be chayev in a klisheni? The answer is that's a tikkun. Because the whole tikkun of mayim is to be mechayev mayim. And therefore, if you reheat water after it cooled off, you'll be chayev, and you don't apply the principle of ein bishul achar bishul, because here the tikkun is measured in terms of the chimum, and by heating up cold water, you are chayev for mechayev es hamayim.
This is based on the Rambam.
Well, it depends which point you're referring to. We made a number of points.
Scenario that you just pointed out.
The first or the second?
The one, the second.
Oh, the second?
That's usually what people say if it was a hafsakat chashmal and the water cooled down in your cool and then went on again, that the Rambam would be makir.
I don't know. I don't know which Rambam we have to get to. I was only basing myself on the first Rambam, mainly the Rambam about Kemaychol Ben Josoi, that the Rambam assumes that if you took the cooked food from Kemaychol Ben Josoi and you cooked it to cold sarko, you would be chayev and you would not apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. I was assuming that since the second bishul is a tikkun, therefore you chayev for the second bishul, the same thing should apply in liquids if you cooled off. Now, exactly where the Rambam is, I don't know. We'll try to find it if you press me on it, but for the time being, let's just put this on the side. So I'm both saying again, we want to come back, bleed that into the paragraph Achen,
okay,
if you can make a note of it. But for the time being, let's see if we can get back to the sugya on Daf Mem Amud Beis. So again, we had the story of Rebbe. Oh. The Gemara says the following. This is a little bit of a digression. I was thinking of skipping it, but it interests me, so I'm not going to skip it. It's not really relevant to our limud. But this discussion between Rebbe and Rabbi Yitzchak, where did it take place?
In the
Beis HaMerchatz. So the Gemara asks, Hechi Ovin Hachi, are you allowed to talk Divrei Torah and Halacha in the Beis HaMerchatz? V'omar Rabba Bar Chana, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Bechol Mokom Mutal Harher, Chutz Mi Beis HaMerchatz, U'Beis HaKise. You're not even think Torah thoughts in a bathhouse with his nakedness and a Beis HaKise with his tzoah. And how much more so if you're not allowed to be Maharer B'Divrei Torah? For sure you're not allowed to speak B'Divrei Torah, because Dibur is always considered more severe, more intense than Hirur. For example, many poskim, including the Shulchan Aruch, assume that on Hirur B'Divrei Torah you don't make a bracha in the morning, but on Dibur B'Divrei Torah you make a bracha. V'chi Tema, and if you'll say Bilashon Chol Amarle. This is an amazing Havami. The Gemara thinks that if they spoke to each other in the vernacular, let's say, for example, they spoke to each other in Aramaic, then that is not a violation of Dibur Beis HaMerchatz B'Divrei Torah. That the violation of Dibur in Divrei Torah only applies to Lashon Kodesh. He has here a footnote. He says, L'chora Kasha. He says, I don't understand. Let's say they spoke in a different language. But certainly they were Maharer. They certainly thought something. And we just finished saying that here in the Beis HaMerchatz is awesome. So if you take a look at Tosis, Divra Maskel V'chi, he says, V'afal Gav di Osel Aharer, even though you're not allowed to think Divrei Torah, so what did you gain by saying that they spoke in Aramaic or whatever language they spoke to? He says, Neima Dein Isel Aharer El B'loshen HaKodesh, V'hu Hirer B'loshen Chol. This is pretty mind-boggling.
Yeah,
Tosis is saying that even in Hilchas Hirur, people think in languages. Think in languages. I mean, there is such a thing called chachma, which means that you have thoughts without language, but Tosus is not recognizing that. He's talking about thinking in language. It's like when you'd say you talk to yourself, and he spoke to himself in the same language that he spoke to his Rebbe, or vice versa, the Rebbe to the Talmud, and that's b'loshon chol. Now, exactly why the Gemara asks from Dibur and not from Hirhur. I mean, the Gemara could have asked the same identical question from Hirhur. Why the Gemara say that V'chi Tema B'Lashon Chol Amarle? In other words, Amarle means Dibur. That's the whole focus here is on Dibur. He could have asked him from Hirhur. I don't know why he didn't ask him from Hirhur. So the Gemara says, V'Amar Abayi Dvarm Shel Chol Mutali Omram B'Lashon HaKodesh, but Shel Kodesh Asali Omram B'Lashon Chol. So Abayi points out that it goes in two directions. If you're talking about Dibur Shel Chol and you want to say something in the Beis HaMerchatz that has no relationship to anything that's Kodesh, any Torah whatsoever. You know, you want to tell him that his towel fell on the ground, pick up your towel. So in Lashon Kodesh, you can say that in Lashon Kodesh, even though you're in a Beis HaMerchatz. There's no prohibition using Lashon Kodesh, employing that as a language in a Beis HaMerchatz, in a Beis HaKisei. It's only the content that's awesome. If the content is Divrei Torah, then it's awesome. And Shel Kodesh, if you're using any language and you're conveying, you're transmitting Torah, that's prohibited in a Beis HaMerchatz. So that how could they talk to each other and converse about Torah, even if it would be in a Lashon Chol? So if I speak Divrei Torah in English in a Beis HaMerchatz, it's forbidden. Even American English, how much more so British English? That's for sure is forbidden, because that's the real English, right? That was for you, Harvey, just to get you involved. Okay. So the Gemara answers, Ifrushe mi sura shayni. And this is a typical, what I call, situational ethics, Gemara. Meaning, when you have two principles, both of which are great halachic legal principles and have to be observed, but they contradict and they conflict with one another. Sometimes they look at each other in the face and there's an irreconcilable situation. On the one hand, you're in a Beis HaMerchatz and you're not allowed to speak Divrei Torah in a Beis HaMerchatz. On the other hand, La Frushe Misur, you have to tell somebody not to do what he's about to do. If that is a Maisa Vera. And here Rebbe felt compelled to stop Rebbe Yitzchak from putting the Shemen into a Kli Sheni. I'm sorry, from putting the Shemen into a Kli Rishon, because Rebbe held that Yesh, that Shemen Yesh Po Mishum Bishol. So how do you reconcile these two principles? Which one trumps the other? And the answer is that Afrushim Isura is so significant that it trumps the Isur of speaking Torah in a Beis HaMerchatz. I would say the following. What we're talking about is not a matir, meaning it's not that you violated an Isur, but for the larger benefit, for the greater good, we're going to allow you to violate that Isur. But I would say that in this case, there is no violation of an Isur. Why? Because when you're speaking Divrei Torah, then you're talking about Torah as an entity, as a corpus of theoretical knowledge, you know, the chachma, the divine wisdom. But if you're telling someone what to do and what not to do, that already has a halacha of lafrushe misur. That dibur comes under a different category. It's not the category of isur that applies to Divrei Torah. That's already a different type of Dibur, and that's called a Frushei Mi'isura. I was wondering, for example, in many Sidurim, Achzorim, or Haggadahs on Leil Pesach, they have what they call instructions. Here you pick up the cup, and here you cover the matzah, and here you dip the matzah into the water if you're litvak, so whatever. So there are various instructions, and the question is: would you make a Birchas HaTorah on reading instructions? Is that also a Cheftza Shel Torah? And I'm suggesting no, that's not a Cheftza Shel Torah. That's called Afrushi Misura. That's just telling you how to get it right. That's giving you a practical guidance or mandate as to what you should do or what you shouldn't do.
It's whole Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, sorry, I'm going to argue.
It's the whole Shulchan Aruch.
Well, are you learning Shulchan Aruch within a context of somebody who's about to violate the Shulchan Aruch? That you're allowed to do in a Beis HaMikdash. But if you're learning Shulchan Aruch just the Torah as Liman Shulchan Aruch, that becomes a Cheftza Shel Torah. So it all depends on the context. Teida, the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. Here's another story. This is a story of Rabbi Meir. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Maisa B'Talmido Shel Rabbi Meir Shenichnas Achrov LeBeis HaMerchatz. So a Talmud of Rabbi Meir followed him into the Beis HaMerchatz Ubikesh Lo'adiach Karka. Okay, he wants to pour liquids over the Karka in order to, you know, they didn't have shayish on the floor like we do. So they had a different kind of sponge. You know, they put water on the karka in order to clean the karka. And that would, to straighten it out, you know, because the karka got full of little holes. It wasn't flat and you could fall into a hole. So Omar lo, so Rebbe sent him in the Beis HaMerchatz. He told him, because it was Shabbos, that he was doing this, Ein Madichim. In other words, you're not allowed to do this because you start pouring water over the ground, it might flatten out the ground in a way that he violates the Iser of Meleches Choresh. Again, we've discussed on many occasions that flattening earth on Shabbos is Meleches Choresh. Of course, we called it a Melech Shem Tzricha Legufa. You remember that long discussion about Chofer Guma, the Ein Tzarech Leguma. He doesn't need the Guma, he needs the Afar. But here in this case, he'll be very happy if he's Miyasher Sakarka, if he flattens out the surface of the ground, and that for sure is a violation of an Issur Torah. Now, what violation is it? So he writes over here in the name of not just Rashi but other Rishonim that we're talking about Meleches Choresh. I'm not sure if filling in gumos is necessarily Meleches Choresh. Filling in gumos is more likely Meleches Bona. Exactly, Meleches Bona. But then you have to know where is Meleches Bona. You know, the Gemara makes distinctions. It's in your house, in the sod, and so on and so on. But be that as it may, there was a problem here. And wait, let me just get the punchline so I don't lose my focus. And the Gemara says, the Omelo Rebbe also told him that he shouldn't do something else. The Talmud, after he was mandated by Rebbe Meir, that he's not allowed to do this hadach on the floor, then he decided, right, let's do sicha, losuch lo hakarka. In other words, if let's say the ground is somewhat dry and he wants to soften it up by putting oil on the karka, and Omalon once again Rebbe stopped him midway and he said, "Ein sochin, you're not allowed to do this sicha on the karka because once again he might fill up the holes in the karka." Alma, what we see is that even though Rebbe was talking to his Talmud in a Beis HaMerchatz and he paskined halacha for him, he was basically quoting Shulchan Aruch, Joel. That's what he was. Yeah, he was writing the Shulchan Aruch, Rebbe Meir, right? And nevertheless, it's mutter. Why? Afrushe meisura shiny. Because this is a different case, because he's stopping him and holding him back from violating an isur. That kind of instruction is allowed even in a Beis HaMerchatz. It's Hachinami so too in the case of Rebbe and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Lafrushi Misura Shine. Yeah, do you want to ask something?
I know there's a Gemara, you have to help me out. There's a Gemara over there that deals with plugging up the in the Beit HaMikdash, and after they did the Korbanot, there was a lot of blood all over. So the Kohanim didn't like all this blood.
Yeah.
So they put the pakak in, and then they turn on the water. All the water would come up, and then they remove the pakak, and all the blood and water would leave. But the Chachamim put a no-no on them. Even though Zayin Shvut B'Mikdash, they said, we don't want you to do it. I'm sure that there was no karka there, you know, there was no dirt on the floor of the Zara. It was probably stones. Mm-hmm. There was no problem. So what was the issue there? Maybe there was some kind of a... moved in the hall.
Omar Avinu, Shmamino, from this story of Rebbe, I'm a Vashel B'chami Tveria B'Shabbos Chayav. It means that the story of Rebbe was a story that took place with Chami Tveria. You remember that the Chami Tveria would spill into this pool, and that's the pool where there would be Bishul if he put Shemen into this pool. So it seems that there is cooking with Chami Tveria. And he says the following, D'Hamaisa D'Rebbe Li'achar HaGzerah Havi. In other words, they made a gzera in which they didn't allow you to bathe in hot water on Shabbos. Again, we have Chami Tveria is a little bit different, and the only heter was Chami Tveria. So let's just see exactly what the Gemara is trying to say over here. So I'm going to read to you his presentation. He says,
"Which heter was that, please, Rabbi?"
Which what?
You're about to read a footnote right now?
No, I'm not up to the footnotes yet. You're a step ahead of me. I'm not that fast. I just want to read the commentary here, which is a summary of Rashi, and he writes the following, that Ravina wanted to derive the conclusion that Chamei Tveria is a serious problem on Shabbos, and it means that Chamei Tveria is subject to Bishul, excuse me, because it has the status of R. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Meaning it's do you remember that it's Al Pisco Shel Gehenna?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Now, how do we see this from the story of Rebbe? How does Ravina see that Chamei Tveria is considered Aish? Or shall we call Toldus Aish? And Toldus Aish, we said many times, has the same status as Aish. Because the story of Rebbe was Li'achar HaGzerah, and even if it was after the Gzerah, which prohibited Rechitza, and using it as a Shvitzbud, we said, on Shabbos, so there's no Heter Rechitza on Shabbos, and the only heter was Chamei Tveria. So he says, Al Karchach Shebeis HaMerchot Shenichnas Bo Rebbe Lirchot Tzayi Shal Chamei Tveria V'Almecha Tveria Elu Omar Le Tol B'Klishen. So again, we already assumed this conclusion. We were geniuses, so we figured it out up front. But now the Gemara is spelling it out, that the Ambati that the story of Rebbe took place in was the Ambati coming from Chamei Tveria, and in that Ambati itself, Rebbe forbid Rebbe Yitzchok from cooking in that Ambati of Chamei Tveria, and he said to him, Tol B'Klisheni, he would not allow him to leave the Shemen, to submerge the Shemen into the Ambati, because the Ambati has the status of a Kli Rishon. And even though it's a Kli Rishon of Chamei Tveria, nevertheless there is Bishul in Chamei Tveria. So the Gemara says, Eini, is this really true? We have another statement, Va'amar Rav Chisda Mevashel B'Chamei Tveria B'Shabbos Potur. And we would like to reconcile, if we can, Rav Chisda with Rebbe, and assume that if Rebbe was Machmir and he treated Chamei Tveria as Bishul Mamish, then Rav Chisda would not disagree with Rebbe. And again, we have to understand, and for that we have to look at the footnotes, why the Gemara assumes that Rav Chisda is committed to this view of Rebbe. But in any event, right now the Gemara is assuming so. And therefore the Gemara says, "My chayav nami dika omar." We go back to the statement of Ravina. And Ravina derived from the story of Rebbe that we're talking about, that if he had cooked in a Chamei Tveria, he'd be chayav. What does the word chayav mean? So we assume that the word chayiv means that he's chayiv achatos and he violated melechus bishul doraisa because chamit ver is the status of told us ha'or. The Gemara says no. You have to reinterpret the word chayiv. Chayiv here means chayiv for violating a drabbana. And that's called makas mardus. That means if you violated doraisa, then you're chayiv makas doraisa. But if you violated drabbana, you're only chayiv makas mardus, which is a lighter kind of punishment. And the Gemara is saying that enochinami, even according to Rebbe Chami Tveria, is not told us aor, and you're not chayiv for bishul doraisa in Chami Tveria. But rather, it has the din of Toldos HaChama. We pass in the Toldos HaChama is also Midra Bonon, and therefore the Chayav here is only a Chiyuv Dirabon. Now, let's take a look for a minute at the footnote, and I'll tell you if we need to photocopy this footnote for our purposes. This is footnote number Mem Vav, and he says that Maisa Im Rabbi Meir Muchach why did the Gemara have to add the story of Rabbi Meir with the Hadocha and the Sicha of Karka? Because that's even clearer and more powerful than the case of Rabbi. She came Rabbi Meir Omar Ein Madichim Ein Sochet, which is a Lashon of Hora. Notice it doesn't sound like he was just giving him instructions. If he was giving him instructions, he would have said, stop doing what you're doing. Or like Rebbe said to Rabbi Yitzchak, told the klisheni, do it in a way that it's mutter. You know, he tried to give him instructions. Rabbi Chia said it in a way that formulates it like a Shulchan Aruch. And he says, ein sachin, or ein madichin. He formulated halach. That sounds like more like Divrei Torah, but no. Even if he formulated it as a halachic principle, he was doing so only in the context of lafrushe misura, and therefore it's mutter. And now we look at footnote number memches. And there we're talking about Liachar Gzera, Sharei Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Omar Liel, B'Shem Rabbar Kapora, Shegozu Chacham al Rechitzav al Azeya, V'Hoya Bizman Rebbe. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is already a first generation Amora, and he overlapped with Rebbe. U'muchach, we see Sharei Bizman Rebbe, there was a Gzera of the Chachamim that prohibited Rechitzav. So how could Rebbe dunk himself into this hot pool? And the answer must be that Rebbe is of the opinion that although they made a gzera on hot pools in general, they didn't institute this gzera as far as what? As far as Chamei Tveri. Chamei Tveri was always the exception to the rule. So he quotes the Ritva, and he says that Liachar Gzera includes even Zeo. Why does he say Zeo? Remember, there were different stages historically. Sometimes Rechitza was also, but Zeo was Mutter. And during that period of time, so you could have said that the Maisa was not Chamei Tveri, but Chamei Or, v'nichnasham Rebbe Lazia Bilvan. It was a classical bathhouse that was heated up by the fires, and maybe Rebbe only went in to use it as a Schwitzbad Lazia, and now there was no Gzer of Hazia. But that's why the Gemara adds that this was already historically after the Gzera of Mezia. Then he has here Hagos Rabbi Lazar Moshe Horovitz. Shebehechrech Shemaisa Zelya Besof Yumei Rebbe. This was at the end of Rebbe's life. Lo Betchilas Yom of Kodemak Zera Al Azeya. In other words, there were two periods of time in Rebbe's youth. They allowed Zeya, even though they prohibited Rechitza. But later on, during the older years of Rebbe's life, they prohibited even Zeya. And Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdime, the story is told about him, Hayav Rabbo Shel Rav. Wow, he's already the early first generation of Hamoraim, and Rav is already a Talmud of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdime. You know, if you're ever studying the halacha of Hamoraim and Tanoim, this is a very good source to quote. Okay, Rabbo, so I think we'll stop here. Let's just see where we're up to. Omer Abzera, we're mamish at the end of Mem Amid Beis, Amar Rabbi Zeir, three lines up from the bottom. We also still have a piece about Yad Soledes Bo that we didn't approach yet. We also have a question here whether there is Bishul and Shemen or not. Rebbe holds that there is Bishul and Shemen. The Gemara is going to quote another opinion here in the Braisa that there is no Bishul and Shemen, and we want to understand what that machlokus is about. And then in Mirtz Hashem, we go on to Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. And I'm thinking that at some point we want to really make a scholar on Muktzah, which is already down on Mem Gimel. So I don't know. I think that maybe we're going to skip to Mem Aleph Amid Beis at some point and get on to Mem Beis Amid Aleph, which is the end of our sugyas of Bishul. And then by the time we get up to Mem Gimel, excuse me, we could be ready for the sugyas of Muktzah. In fact, the sugya of Muktzah, if you want to take a look, just to see, is on Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis. A noslin kli tachas haner.
What is that?
I can't tell you where it is. I can only tell you it's on Mem Beis Amid Beis. I'm not Steinsaltz's keeper. I should really get myself another Gemara. Don't buy me a Gemara Steinsaltz. I love Steinsaltz, but you don't have to buy it. This was enough, Rabbi Hossein. I want to again publicly thank all those who participated in this wonderful gift. It says here, dear Rabbi Berzon, okay, I won't read it out loud, but maybe I will, I'll just shut off the tape. But I really appreciate it, because now I can start making lines underneath it. I haven't started yet, because, you know, I have to break in with the first line, because, you know, it's so you know, beautiful pristine, when it's pristine. New, pristine, you know, that first violation, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's an medium level. You can use a pencil.
Yeah, no, for sure I'll use a pencil as much as I can, but I don't always have a pencil. Now, Rabosa, I want you to turn, only Ben can do this, but turn to the back of this Masifta. And this is like the what I call the cherry on top. This is the extra luxury item here in the Masifta. And the back is something called Otzer Iyunim.
Oh yeah, that's amazing.
And if you take a look at the list,
I'm selling these.
Guys, listen, if you look for a startup, I don't know, this might be, I don't know how you can do without violating the rights, what do they call it, copyright laws of whatchamacallit, of Masifta. But in any event, here he has Otzer Hayunim, and he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He's got 11 essays, of which 5 belong to Muktzah. Okay, but the first 7, I think, if I got the number right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 of the essays belong to the sugyas that we've been learning for the last, I don't know, is a month or so? It's got to be at least a month, no? So it's already 2 months. So if I would choose one particular maracha, one essay for you, which I think is, in a sense, the easiest one for us, it would be the first one, Shehiyah. Because that already, I think we know pretty well. He's got another one here on Rechitza B'Shabbos, which we covered pretty well, and another one called Meleches Mevashel, where he talks about Bishul Kli Sheni and Bishul B'Chama, Iri Kli Rishon, and that's my Rosh Yudches. So I would say the following: those who want to get smicha, I'm just kidding, you would have to learn one of those three and get tested on that. I'll give you the test. I make up a pretty hard test, so you got to know it well. And you have the following choices: either you do number 10 Zion, which is Shehiyah, or Yudches, which is Meleches Mevashel. That's the one that I would prefer. Or number Yudches, which is Rechitza B'Shabbos or Rechitza B'Yontif. Do you have that? Mm-hmm. So please make a note of that: Tzayin, Yudches, or Yudches. Okay, then. So see if you can start that even today, because that would be a very good chazar on what we've been doing. And again, I would encourage you to start with either Yudches or Yutes, because Shehi already is, you know, we have to review what we did in Shehi about Kash V'Gavava and Mitzvah V'Ralo, Mitzvah V'Yoflo. We spoke about Kemichel Ben Josai. These are all the Heterim that allow Shehi. We came up with three. Maybe he has more than three. And that would be something very exciting. I'm going to even put my ribbon over there. Once I put the ribbon there, it means I'll be able to find it. Wow, they gave me two ribbons here. Do you guys pay a little extra for this thing? Or they always give you two ribbons?
You get at least two.
Oh, you always get at least two. Okay, fine. So I'm going to put one ribbon here, and the other ribbon here. And whoever goes through those three marachos will get a third ribbon. That's the ribbon for the winners who come in first. Yeah.
Can I ask the halachic difference between mafshir and mechamen?
Mechamen means that it gets hot. Yad sol lettuce po. It's really, really hot.
And mafshir is just deep.
Mafshir means lukewarm. It's not cold, but it's not hot.
Coming from what direction?
It's a little bit warm.
From cold.
It doesn't matter. It goes in either direction. Uh-huh. Because if you cool something off, you're not chayev. And if you warm it up just to the state of lukewarm, you're not chayev. Okay. The exception to that rule is going to be shem. So we have to figure out why Shemin is different. We suggested that Shemin has a quasi status of Daga Ispinin, of Kaliyat Bishul, in which case you can accomplish your Gemara Malachas, whatever you need for Shemin, even with Hefshero. On into our bottom level again, let's just review. The Rosh Hashita was that if you have wet hands and you heat them up to the fireplace, right? It becomes Chamin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, which is also even the pun of Yod Viragla. And even though it doesn't read Yad Soles, but it's only Hafshero, but nevertheless, that's on a Drabbana level. So we definitely have Hafshero on a Drabbana level, and that's going to be the rush in terms of Madura. And now we're adding Hafshero in the Sugiyar Mem of Days as a Doraisa in the case of Shevet. The Rambam seems to assume that it's Kivavasha. You remember the Chav?
Yeah.
And that makes it only
so vulnerable.
Rabbi Birthright.
Yes.
I meant to ask you this at the end of the last.
What's today? Excuse me.
Today's Monday.
Still Monday. And this
Monday.
Is Monday.
Oh, okay. So I have no Chumash class today. All right, good.
Hefshero. I was thinking of that in Hebrew. It sounds like Shemin may have been solid.
Ah, you're talking about like a coagulated substance.
Siberia on a real cold day.
Right.
So the shemen may have been solidified, and then that made the tikkun of it, getting it back to liquid.
You know, he's throwing it to a state of liquid.
Hatacha. Is that a good
shot? I don't know. You have to see if anybody says it. That's not something you can say on your own, because that's going to lead to a big chumra. You know, I come on have shero means that you warm it up, that it's actually warm
to make it comfortable for you.
Comfortable, because again, he's going to use it on his body, and that's.
But it's supposed to be a chumra.